Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to read a couple verses here. Galatians 5. Last time we preached here, we looked in verses, verse 13, 14, and 15, and looked at and what he dealt with in these verses is what love, how love acts, the way love acts and conducts itself. And that leads into verse 16 and 17. He says, look in verse 16, he says, "This I say then." So he's letting us know, you know, this is in regards to what I just said. You know, he's talking about the way love acts and conducts itself. And so because of that, he says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." And so I want to preach just for a few moments out of these scriptures on walking in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. That was the command, the advice, the counsel that he gives. The very first line of verse 6, or verse first statement basically of verse 16, is to walk in the Spirit. So he's counseling these people. He's just got done dealing with them not biting and devouring each other and all that. And so, and after dealing with all that, he goes right into counseling them and telling them to walk in the Spirit. Because the only way we're not going to have all the problems that this church has been having is by walking in the Spirit. And so that's what we're going to look at tonight, walk in the Spirit. Just want to give you a few thoughts out of these verses on that. So Paul's been dealing with the law and this whole thing of law, you know, versus grace, and dealing with all that, that leads into showing a contrast between the Spirit and the flesh. Because, you know, whenever we're under grace and we're saved, we really, as we walk in the Spirit, as we're led by the Spirit, really the spiritual man is called and led into a higher conduct of character than man under the law really even is. And that's why you know, I've made this statement before, talking about how, you know, how is it that we under grace, people talk about, well, we're under grace now, so they have liberty to do all this sin. Well, the thing is, why would we ever under grace, with all that Jesus has done for us, why would we ever let someone in the Old Testament under the law do more for the Lord than what we would do now under grace, as good as he's been to us? And so that's what salvation does. It calls us to a higher level and a higher plane. And it calls us to more. And so in dealing with that, it leads Paul into showing the contrast between the Spirit and the flesh. And we all know that there is a stark contrast between the two. I mean, there's a big time contrast between what the spiritual man looks like and the man led in the flesh looks like. And so the two conduct themselves very, very differently. And in most of this, we're not really going to get into it tonight, but as you read through the rest of the chapter, he starts really getting specific on the differences in the flesh and the Spirit, and the way the Spirit conducts itself versus the way the flesh conducts itself. And whenever we see that, really what we see is the general behavior contrast between the saved and the unsaved, because there is general differences. Now, we are saved, but we still battle with the flesh, and we still sin at times, and we still mess up at times. But generally, general behavior, you're going to see a difference in the saved and the lost. I mean, would you not agree with that? I mean, you're going to see a difference in those that have been quickened in Christ, had their spirit made alive in Christ, compared to those that are dead in trespasses and sins. And so, yes, we can all mess up, and yes, we do all mess up, and we still battle with the same flesh that the world battles with. We've got the spiritual man. We've got Christ living in and through us to help us overcome the flesh. However, we see the general differences, the general difference in behavior. And so Let's look at these verses for just a few moments and get a few thoughts. First of all, in verse number 16, he gives counsel concerning our walk. Okay? Verse 16, he says, again, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust thereof. Now, this is good, wise counsel. Wouldn't you agree? This is very good, very wise counsel. This is counsel that you would not ever hear from a worldly counselor. I've always thought it was weird, by the way, whenever Christian parents send, like if they have a child that's got problems or something. I hear this a lot. I hear parents, supposed to be Christian parents in good churches, sending their kids to unsaved, lost counselors to get counsel to help with like emotional problems and things like that. And I'm always thinking, like, why would you ever do that? Why would you send your child, or why would yourself, or send a family member to a lost counselor or whatever to get help? Our help comes from the Lord. We need godly counsel. And so Paul is giving godly, wise counsel, and he's counseling them concerning their walk. So the walk in that counsel, he says, walk in the Spirit. Walking speaks of ordinary things. Would we not all agree that to walk is very ordinary for all of us, for the most part? Unless you're Brother Raymond and you're battling your inner ear. Walking is pretty normal. It's pretty common. It's pretty ordinary. It's just kind of what we do. We just walk. Walking is something that everybody who's not got a serious health problem really just can do. And so it speaks of the ordinary, not the spectacular. A lot of times people look in the Christian life and they look in their mind, the spiritual things and spiritual people, they look for the spectacular things in their life. But the truth is that our character and our Christianity really is mostly tested in just ordinary life, the daily walk. Because here's the thing, anyone can act spectacular under spectacular circumstances or in a special situation. Anybody can act special under special circumstances. Anybody can work it up and build up. We see that happen all the time. We see people build things up and work things up in the flesh. It happens every day. And anybody can do that. But it takes a spiritual person to be spiritual in their daily walk. And it really, our spirituality really is tested in the ordinary, daily, day in, day to, day out, just walk. Really the ordinary things. That's really where the big battle is. So the real test is how you and I act in our ordinary walk, in our ordinary relationships, in our ordinary things. True spirituality is not how well a man can preach and sway an audience. It's not telling an emotional story or preaching an emotional message where there's not a dry eye in the place. You know, now a lot of people would say, oh, that's so spiritual. He's such a man of God, the way he preaches and all that stuff. And I thank God for the great preachers, but a man can do that and then be wicked as the devil outside of the pulpit. We all know that, don't we? It's not about how somebody can get up and sing this spectacular solo and seem like God just really moved in the song. And it's not about someone singing the choir or making some big spectacle. It's about the daily walk. And the truth is, most all of us can put on when we're here to a degree. I mean, we may not be on the platform, or we may not be teaching a Sunday school class or whatever, but all of us, we know how we're supposed to dress when we're in church, and we can dress that way. And we know the way we're supposed to act when we're in church, and we can act that way. And we can do all the things that we know to do and not do so everybody else thinks that we're spiritual, or at least doesn't think that we're wicked as the devil. And we can just do all those things because we know them, and we've heard them, and we just know. We know the church etiquette, so to speak. And we can do those things while we're here. But when it comes down to it, really all of us, the only one that really knows how spiritual we really are is us. Us and God. We're the only ones. Because we're the only ones that know what's going on in our life when nobody else is around and nobody's looking. Only us and God knows. One of those signs that I hold on the street I'm sure one of the signs that we have is a verse in Psalms that he knows the secret things of the heart. And he does know the secrets of our heart. And so he and us are really the only ones that know how spiritual we are. But the thing is, he says, walk in the Spirit. Walk is the ordinary life. In other words, seek after God and walk in the Spirit all the time. Ordinary things. It's not just putting it on. So the walk in this counsel, he's talking about ordinary life, your day-to-day life. But then notice the way in the counsel. He says, walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit means to walk in submission to the leading of the Holy Spirit. That's what walking in the Spirit is. It's not something mystical, and Brother Tim Giddens always says something spooky. It's not something spooky. Everybody's looking for something spooky, looking to feel something, looking for a worship experience. But that is not spirituality. Spirituality is walking in the Spirit. And walking in the Spirit means to walk in submission to the leading of the Holy Spirit. Thus walking according to the Word of God, because that's how the Holy Spirit leads. The world, especially here in the South, has gotten so messed up on what the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost is and does and looks like and all that stuff, because the charismatics have, you know, taken the whole tongues thing and taken the Holy Ghost and really just like made something so weird out of it. When the truth is, being filled with the Spirit of God and being led of the Spirit of God and being submitted to the Spirit of God and walking in the Spirit, like what Paul's talking about here, what that means is you are walking according to what this book says. That is what it means, because that's the Holy Spirit's going to lead. This is the Word of the Lord. This is Christ's Word. This is Jesus' Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God. So this is the Word of Jesus. And Jesus talked about the Comforter when He comes, says He will speak of Me. The Holy Spirit's going to point us to Jesus, and in pointing us to Jesus, it's going to point us to this book, because this is the closest thing we can get to Jesus here right now. And so that's what walking in the Spirit is. And see, the Spirit is going to tell you what to do. Everybody here, if you're saved, on a daily basis, from the moment you wake up in the morning, the Holy Spirit's telling you what to do. You know, from the moment you wake up, I believe with all my heart, there's not one person here tonight that doesn't wake up first thing in the morning already knowing in their mind what I need to do right now. Because the Holy Spirit's there telling them. He tells me. If I wake up, the second I wake up in the morning, the Holy Spirit, the first thing He's telling me, you need to get up and read your Bible and pray. My flesh, though, is telling me, you can sleep for another hour. You can sleep for 30 more minutes. But the Holy Spirit is always there telling me what I need to do. Walking in the Spirit is submitting to that and saying, yea, Lord, and getting my tail out of bed and going to read my Bible and praying. But if we walk in the Spirit, we do what He tells us to do. If we don't, we do what the flesh wants us to do. Y'all with me? Y'all understand? Is that right or is that right? I mean, if we're saved, if you're here or not and you're saved, you know what you're supposed to do. The Holy Spirit's telling you. He's guiding you into all truth. Sometimes we do it and sometimes we don't. And so, it's walking in submission to the leading Holy Spirit, thus walking according to the Word of God, because that's how the Holy Spirit leads, and our lives are guided by the counsel of Scripture, not by modern culture. We are guided not by culture, but by the counsel of the Bible. And so we've got to be Bible believers first in our life before anything else. Again, spirituality is not the spectacular, it's the common things. And if we are going to be spiritual and walk in the Spirit, you know what it's going to look like? It's not going to look like big, huge church services where we're blowing the roof off with worship. Those are good things, and that's a good thing. But we're going to have to get this right first before we have that right. I mean, we can pump up the church services and we can do, you know, all that stuff. But walking in the Spirit, true spirituality, looks like day in and day out, ordinary walking with God and simply being a Bible believer. Every area of our life, somebody looks at, they say they're doing that according to the Bible. I was talking to a man just the other day, a preacher that I know, and he was talking about some things that he's read recently, and I read this a long time ago. They've done studies looking at the growth of Islam in America. Islam is growing by leaps and bounds in America. I mean, it's crazy how much Islam is growing. And I can't remember all the numbers of like how many convert to Islam every year, but they've got all that. They've got averages on like how many convert to Islam every year and all this stuff. And a lot of the ones converting to Islam at one time were Christian or claimed to be Christian. You know, they grew up in a church or whatever. But either way, most of the ones that are converting, according to this study that I read, and this same guy read the same thing too, according to the studies they've done, the reason that people give that they for why they've converted to Islam is because they want to be a part of something. And I can't remember word for word, but basically they want to be a part of something where people really believe in what they're doing. They want it's the high level of commitment that requires, basically, is what it comes down to. And see, they see that group of people flying planes into buildings and strapping bombs on themselves and doing all that they're doing. They say, man, these people believe this. And they look at the Quran and they say, man, they are really doing what the Quran says. And they take it seriously. They are really doing it. But then they look at Christianity and they see most of what claims to be a Christian. They say, man, they're not even doing what the Bible says. And so most of them, they want to be a part of it because they see Islam, they see Islamists, they see Muslims living by the Quran in the way that Christians should be living by the Bible. And that's what attracts them to it. Because see, here's the thing, man. People, it's human nature. People want something to believe in. They want something to believe in. They want something to stand for. That's what will cause a man or a woman to leave a good paying job, you know, with good benefits and all stuff, to go do something else, you know, that is nowhere near the money because it's what they believe in. I mean, I could look at my own life, really. I had a great paying job. I mean, I made more money doing what I was doing, really, than I ever thought I would make. I mean, and I don't want you to think I'm complaining, but leaving that to come pastor a church because this is what I believe in. This is worth more than that. This is better than that. Because this is, and that's human nature, man. People want something to believe in. I don't want y'all to get, I'm not complaining. The church is taking great care of it. That's a blessing. But I'm just making a point that people, they want something to really stand for, something that matters. That's what those people see in that. And if we're going to be spiritual, that's what spirituality looks like. It means that we're just simply Bible believers. I live the way I live and I do the things I do because of what the Bible says. You know, I dress the way I dress. I go to church the way I go to church. And I do all the things that I do because of this is what they did in the Bible. This is what the Bible tells me to do. And so that's true spirit. That's walking in the Spirit. It's not spooky and weird and mystical. It's simply doing what the Spirit tells you in your heart to do that you really know you're supposed to do and submitting to that. So the way in the counsel and then the why in the counsel. The very last phrase, he says, walk in the Spirit and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's the why. Why should we do it? Well, we do it so we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. That lust of the flesh. One man said this. He said, the lust of the flesh incorporates all of the evil desires that originate within fallen human nature. All of that is still in us. All that sin, everything that's in fallen human nature, it's still in these bodies of flesh. It's still in there. And so we still have this old flesh. And we still have a lot of the vile appetites of the old flesh too. I mean, you know, that's why a lot of people, they get saved. I remember you've heard Brother Billy Mitchell talk about struggling with smoking for so long after he got saved. I've heard him talk about throwing the
cigarettes out the window on the way to church, stopping to hunt them out of the ditch on the way home from church, you know, and just battling with that because that vile appetite of the flesh is still there. And we can struggle with those things sometimes. Amen? And so, but if we walk in the flesh or walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill those appetites. We overcome by submission to the Spirit through the Word of God. That is how we overcome. The world's different. They don't have that. They don't have that ability to overcome. And people who claim to be saved that aren't saved, they don't have that ability to overcome. God's people, though, we have the ability to submit to the Spirit through the Word of God and overcome those things. And so we aren't exempt from temptation, but we can defeat every temptation. There's not a single temptation that we have ever been exposed to or dealt with that you and I don't have the power to overcome. The world does not, but we do. We have the power to overcome. And so you say, well, why does somebody fall? You know, we see Christians, you know, who seem so spiritual and they fall. I'll tell you why they fall. They fall because they've not listened to the Spirit and submitted to the Spirit as He guides them according to the Bible. That's what it comes down to. That's the reason a Christian is false, because they've not listened to the Spirit and His leading according to the Bible. And so there really, there's no excuse. There's never an excuse for a Christian falling to the lust of the flesh. Never. And whether it's big sin, little sin, whatever it is, slipping up and saying we shouldn't say, or having a bad attitude, or whether it's some what we'd consider a vile sin, big or small, there is never an excuse, because Jesus has given us everything we need to overcome every appetite of the flesh that we have. Amen? And so He gives counsel concerning our walk. But then in verse 17, there's counsel in our walk, but then in verse 17, we see the conflict of the flesh and the Spirit. He says, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would." Now, there is a great conflict between the flesh, or the old nature, and the Spirit, or the new nature. There's that conflict. And we actually find the details. Paul writes in great detail concerning that in Romans chapter 7. So I want you to turn over there, and I want us to read a few verses here in Romans chapter 7. Because we see great details concerning the battle between the flesh and the Spirit, even in Paul's life, in these verses. And he's arguably one of the greatest Christians that ever walked the earth, you know. And in Romans 7, look in verse 15. He says, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, he says, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do I." So he says, the things that I would do or I want to do, those are the things that I don't do. But the things that I hate, those are the things I wind up doing. You ever have, you have something about yourself, like even our personalities, right? I've heard Brother Billy Mitchell, getting back to him, talk about how when we get saved, you know, we don't even get saved from our personalities. And some people have got bad personalities. It's just the fact, I mean, right? And you ever have anything about your personality that you just hate sometimes? Like you just hate, and it's like, why do I do that? I wish that I didn't do that. And some people, that's a real battle. That's a real battle. I know, I mean, people that I'm thinking of right now that have things about themselves really that they battle, that they really, honestly, they really hate about themselves. They wish they could change. They want to change. Now, they can if they're saved. And if they are led by the Spirit and they grow, you can overcome those things. You can even overcome the bad things about your personality that are sinful things. I mean, even if it's just because it's just kind of comes to us naturally and it's just kind of a natural part of our personality, it's still sin if it's sin. I mean, you know, certain sins comes more natural to some people more than others, but it's still sin and it can be overcome. But man, I can identify with Paul. There's just some things about, you know, that I just hate And that's the things I wind up doing. And so anyways, that's verse 15. Look in verse 16. He says, if then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would not, that I would do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind. And I have mind underlined in my Bible because that's really where the battle is. It's in the mind. He says the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this flesh? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. And boy, you see that struggle there? In the Apostle Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, and he's writing about that struggle that he has in his flesh. And if you're saved, you know all about it. If you're saved and trying to live for God and trying to do what's right, you know all about that battle, that struggle. And so the conflict in the flesh and spirit. First of all, back in Galatians 5, verse 17, very quickly, he shows us the cause of the conflict. The cause is, he says, these are contrary the one to the other. The flesh and the spirit, they are polar opposites. They have opposite likes and dislikes. The flesh likes to do sin and dislikes doing what's right, and the spirit is the opposite. There's a constant fight within about conduct because flesh and spirit are in constant disagreement. And if we're going to be spiritual, we're going to submit to the spiritual, or we're going to be carnal. And so that's the cause of conflict. But then he gives us the consequences of the conflict. He says, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Now this statement means this. It means that each nature opposes the other nature's desires. That's what would means. Those two natures, they oppose each other. It does not mean, a lot of people take it to mean that the flesh keeps believers, keeps us from doing good. That no matter what, we'll never do good, we'll never do right, we'll never please the Lord because of the flesh. And that is not what he's talking about. One man said this. He said, the conduct that occurs is the conduct that is encouraged by whom the believer allows to govern his life. That's what it comes down to. See, we're choosing constantly. We're choosing which man is going to govern us. We're choosing either my flesh is going to govern me and pilot my life, or the spiritual man, the Holy Spirit, is going to pilot me. Because if you're saved, you've always got that inner voice of the Holy Spirit telling you what's right to do, what you need to be doing. And you're either going to let that govern you, or I'm going to let this appetite of my flesh govern me. And it's one or the other. Probably the best example I can think of right now in my life is going out on the street and doing this public ministry. Because I'll just be honest with you. The more I do it, the more comfortable I get with it. But up till this point, especially when I'm by myself. Now, Brother Ernest is with me a lot of times, and then Brother Thomas, him and his wife have been coming. So when you got people with you, it's a lot easier. But especially when you're by yourself, like today and yesterday, I'll be honest with you, my flesh, I'm scared to death. There's no reason to be. Whenever we go out, we used to go out and knock doors, when we were doing that a lot more. Man, until I knock on that first door, my flesh is screaming against doing that. I'll think of every worst possible situation scenario I can come up with in my flesh. My flesh and the devil will give me all that stuff. But once I go ahead and do it, I listen to the Holy Spirit who says, you need to do this. This is right. This pleases God. He's told us to proclaim His name. He's told us to preach the gospel. See, the flesh is over there saying, this isn't going to help. This isn't going to do any good. People don't care. People are going to think you're weird. Somebody you know is going to see you and it's going to be embarrassing. It's going to be hot. It's going to be cold. It's going to be uncomfortable. The flesh is telling you all that stuff. All that stuff. But the Spirit is telling me, Jesus said, do this. The Bible says, do this. This pleases God. This is right. It doesn't matter if there's results or not. This is pleasing the Lord. That's who we're trying to please. Jesus said whenever He gave the Great Commission, lo, I am with you always. You know, so He's with me. And I mean, He's telling me all the spiritual things. And the man I submit to is the man I'll grow stronger in. And so the longer we've gone, the more we've done it, the more comfortable it gets and the easier it is to go out. But if you feed that appetite of the flesh and that spirit of fear, and that's what it is a spirit, you know what's going to happen? That spirit's going to grow stronger and the flesh is going to grow stronger and it's going to get easier and easier and easier to not do what God said. However, the more you do what the Lord says, it gets easier and easier and easier to do what He says instead of what the flesh wants. Now, the world realizes this too. You know, again, they would say you're just getting more comfortable in it because you've done it more. Well, maybe so, but according to the Bible, it's feeding the spiritual man, and so it's making it easier to overcome the flesh and do what God wants me to do. It's strengthening the inner man. And that's the way it is in everything. In everything. Every time we obey the Spirit of God, the inner man gets stronger and it gets easier to do. Now, by the way, you can fall overnight. It don't take long for me, about one day of being unspiritual, and I'll be back at ground zero. But, you know, but still, I mean, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So this conflict in us really is really seen everywhere in society. We see it all over the place. It's a conflict of good and evil, right and wrong. You know, God, who is the Spirit and the Word, is encouraging good and right. And the Holy Spirit is convicting men of righteousness and convicting men of wrong and all those things. But then the flesh and Satan, they're encouraging evil and wrong. And in the world today, we talk about seeing that spirit of Antichrist at work. That's what it is. It's encouraging evil. And everyone, even the lost, until their conscience gets so seared, even they battle this. They battle that inner working where they're not saved with the power to overcome, but they have that conscience that God gives them with, and they know when they do wrong. They feel bad for when they do wrong. They feel shame for when they do wrong. And so we see that conflict everywhere, and it's that battle between the flesh and the Spirit. So the counsel is that Paul's given us here. Again, he's giving us counsel concerning our walk, concerning our Christian life. The counsel is walk in the Spirit. And if you'll walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So walk in the Spirit. The Spirit's always going to tell you and me what to do. We must submit to that. Don't be looking for the Holy Spirit in weird mysticism and spooky events and weird experiences. That's what the world's looking for. That's what, you know, even Jesus talked about how, you know, the Jews, they required a sign. And He talked about an adulterous generation requires a sign. A wicked and adulterous generation requires a sign. Well, buddy, that's what the world's still looking for now. That wicked and adulterous generation out there, that's what they're all looking for. They're looking for a sign. They're looking for an experience. That's why every church website you go to in our town, if you go to the church website, most of them talk about come join us for a worship experience because that's what everybody wants. They want to experience something. Don't look for the Holy Spirit in that. Holy Spirit's not in those weird, goofy experiences. A guy I was talking to the other day, I was talking about having this heart attack, you know, and and how he passed out in his kitchen floor. He was laying there, and he had this heart attack, you know, and his wife called the ambulance. The ambulance coming, he said, you know, he said, but when I was laying there having that heart attack, he said, that's the most calm I've ever felt in my whole life. I tell you, I've had two heart attacks. The second one wasn't quite that way, but the first one, oh man, that's the most calm. And I knew right then, he's watching out for me. I knew it. Isn't that weird? Isn't that weird? That is weird stuff. That is so foreign from the Bible, but that's what everybody wants. An experience. They want to take some event and spiritualize it, make it real emotional. Like, oh, I saw God in the clouds, you know. Listen, don't look for the Holy Spirit in that. Look for the Holy Spirit and look to be spiritual in walking in the Spirit. Daily, ordinary, submitting to the Spirit of God. When you wake up in the morning, and if you're saved, the Holy Spirit's going to be there telling you what you need to do. And so when you wake up and He says, you need to get up and you need to pray, you need to read your Bible, and you need to seek God first in your day, submit to that and go and do that, and that'll make it a lot easier. Every other time throughout the day He's telling you to do something, it'll be easier to submit to it. Because when you start out submitting to the spiritual man, and you read your Bible and you pray like you know He's telling you to do in your heart, take a little extra time instead of sleeping longer, and feeding the flesh, you feed the spiritual man. It'll be easier when you're going through the day and you spot somebody on the side of the road, or you spot that person in the gas pump next to you, and the Holy Spirit says, you need to give them a track. It'll be easier to obey the Spirit of God in that, once you've obeyed Him in this. The more you obey Him, the more you strengthen the spiritual man. Amen. Walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's pray. Father, we come before Your throne of grace. Thank You for helping us with the Word. Lord, thank You for showing us these things. And I pray that You will help us to apply them to our lives. Help us, Lord, to walk in the Spirit that we might not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Lord, help us to be spiritual. And Lord, help us to know what real spirituality is. Lord, it's in submitting to the Holy Spirit to do what the Word of God says. And I pray that You'll help us to hide Your Word in our hearts. Help us to walk in the Spirit this week, to do everything You'd have us to do. I pray that You'll bless in Your day, Lord, this Sunday. You'd prepare us to worship. Lord, we would walk in the Spirit that when we come to Your house, we can worship and we can praise and we can, Lord, do all the things that are pleasing to You, Lord, while we're here. But Lord, I pray that You'd help us to walk in the Spirit and obey You, Lord, leading up to that, God, that You can use us in a mighty way. Help us to be what You want us to be. Bless us now as we go our separate ways. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.